Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord that we consider this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning with verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose ambassadors we are in the world, dear fellow redeemed. Whenever the name of the Apostle Paul is mentioned in Christian circles, beside the thought of him being the divine writer of so many letters in Holy Scripture, another thought that crosses our minds is that here is a believer, a Christian, who gave his all for the sake of the gospel. I mean, everything, not just some things, everything. In the early days of the New Testament church, Paul tirelessly traveled many miles, visiting different towns and cities, and lovingly bearing witness of the gospel to many people. And in performing this very important work of the Lord, Paul unselfishly and willingly made many sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. When considering the many different types of individuals Paul shared the gospel with, there was no group that was overlooked or left out. There's some examples of groupings. He preached to the young and the old, males and females, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, masters and slaves, rulers and citizens of the state. Professionals and common laborers, respectable and those of ill repute. And of course the major groupings, the Jews and the Gentiles. While Paul had received the special calling of being an apostle to preach to the Gentile nation, he knew that Jesus gave a great commission to his church to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, all nations. And this command left nobody out when it came to the special work of gathering redeemed souls into the kingdom of God. As the Apostle Paul went out into the world, giving of himself fully for the spread of the gospel, the Lord blessed his work richly. Through his preaching, the Holy Spirit brought many people to faith. And Paul established many congregations in different regions of the world. When Paul wrote of his mission work, telling of what he said, what he did, he didn't do this in order that he might boast of himself or make a name for himself so that other people would praise him. Rather, his writings were intended to bring honor and glory to the name of God and to the spiritual benefit of those who would listen to and read his writings, his inspired writings. Under the Holy Spirit's direction, Paul wanted his readers to understand that what he said and did in his mission work was all for the sake of the gospel. These writings of Paul have been most certainly preserved to this day so that we might learn from them in our kingdom work. And while our text reveals the work of an apostle, its message is surely intended to reveal important truths and set examples for us as Christian individuals and as a congregation and a church body in our efforts of going out and gathering precious souls into God's kingdom. One important truth learned from the apostle is that he was a freed man. Paul was willing to be of service, and once he was as a freed man, but he was willing to be of service to all others, no matter who they were, to gain them for the kingdom of God. Paul testified of the compelling force that lied behind his willing and cheerful service to God and to those he came to bring the word of God to. He says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Through faith and the redemptive work of Christ, Paul and all of us share the Christian belief that we're free. Free from the diabolical power of the kingdom of darkness, the devil. Free from the carnal ways of this ungodly, unbelieving world. Free from the control and servitude of our fleshly nature. And free from the curse of the law, which would condemn us to hell on account of our sinfulness. We're free from all of that. In short, our Savior Jesus has set us free from the road that leads to destruction, everlasting destruction. And since we possess such a great and wonderful freedom through our Savior God, we want others to have a share in that same wonderful freedom that we enjoy. As the Corinthians considered Paul's ministry in their midst, none of them can truthfully say of him that he was carrying out his work for selfish interests or personal gain. Instead, it was clear to see that he had come to be of service to them. And one very clear, obvious illustration of that is that when he worked among them, he did not expect to be compensated monetarily. He didn't say, "You need to pay my salary here." He worked part-time as a tent maker. Now, he could have had every right to expect to be supported financially by those people that he preached to and taught, as God's word says, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to make it the gospel free to them. In the case of the Corinthians, some could have hindered the gospel by saying Paul was trying to take advantage of them, and that he expected financial support. He didn't say that. He didn't do that. He worked for a living, making tents, and he didn't charge them 1 cent for his work among them. Paul did all this quite willingly, for while as an apostle, he felt duty-bound to proclaim the gospel because of his divine calling, yet because of the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus lovingly and willingly made for him and all other sinners as our Savior, Paul was willing to make great sacrifices for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of all the people that he came to serve with God's word. He wanted them to have the wonderful gift of God's pardon and eternal salvation through Jesus. That's why he was willing to make tremendous sacrifices to get the word out. Is not this the same kind of spirit of heart that a redeeming love of Christ works in us? That we want to be of service to all others, especially in the indispensable work of spreading the gospel, gathering people into God's kingdom, both far and wide? Are we not also willing to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel and remove any hindrance that would stand in the way of God's word? Do everything we can to promote and spread God's word. That is our primary purpose as Christians in this world. That is primarily why we're still living. You believe in God? Well, why didn't you just take us home? No, you have work to do. We all have work to do. To do whatever we can to get the word of the gospel out to other people. That's our primary purpose as Christians. Paul revealed the great lengths he went in order to reach the many different groups and types of people with the gospel when he said, "I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now I want you to take your bulletins, open them up, and look at verse 22 of our text, and I want you to pay close attention to how many times he uses the word all. He said, "I have become all things," not some things, "to all men," not some men, "that I might by all means," not some means, "save some." No one was left out in his mission outreach efforts. And Paul made use of whatever God-pleasing means and measures available to him to reach out to others with the gospel. Each individual and each group of people Paul came into contact with had their own particular background, culture, education, and personal characteristics and needs. They're all different across the spectrum, all kinds of different people with different backgrounds. And in becoming all things to all men, Paul made every attempt to find common ground with his listeners. That is, I want to emphasize, he wanted to find common ground. This does not mean that he went along by and conformed to the worldliness that he found in this world, or that he compromised God's word of truth so that he would satisfy human ways of thinking, or that he made use of ways and means that would be dishonorable and would bring shame to God's name. No. Paul came and met people where they were at in life. And he spoke to them on their level, and he addressed their particular needs as he testified of the gospel in all its beauty and its truth and purity. Paul cited some examples of this in the portion of scripture before us today. Verse 20, he writes, "To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law." Now, since Paul was a Jew by his race, and he grew up in the Jewish teaching and tradition, he knew what it was like for the Jews. And he could relate to them. And it's also helpful to know that in his becoming all things to the Jews, Paul made sacrifices of setting aside Christian liberty, Christian freedom, to win the Jews for Christ. Knowing by faith that Jesus had perfectly observed and kept all the laws of Moses, Paul knew that he was now free from the Old Testament ceremonial laws. He did not have to observe them anymore. He could eat pork. He could eat shrimp and lobster. I don't know if they had that available, but before this, they could not eat that kind of food. But now he was free because Jesus had kept the law and they were no longer under those laws. He didn't have to observe Jewish festivals or holy days, which one were required. But since most Jews Paul came into contact with were unaware of this freedom, he willingly did not make use of his Christian liberty, his Christian freedom, when he lived and worked among the Jews. Rather, he conformed to those Old Testament ceremonial laws. He kept the Jewish festivals so as not to offend them and so that he might bring them the gospel of Christ. And he didn't compromise the gospel when he did this, but sought a common ground with the Jews for the sake of the gospel. In verse 21 of our text, Paul writes of his becoming all things to the Gentiles, saying, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. Unlike the Jews, the Gentiles did not have the revealed law of God, although they did have the law of God written in their heart, their conscience, either excusing them or accusing them when they did something wrong. When Paul lived and worked among the Gentiles, he did not live according to the Jewish ways. Instead, he lived according to the law of Christ, namely, the wonderful law of Christian love. Working with this spirit of heart, Paul sought common ground with the Gentiles, and therefore he conformed to the customs and the ways of the Gentiles, provided they didn't conflict or go against God's holy will. Now, the customs of the Gentiles was not something that Paul grew up with. He wasn't necessarily comfortable with them, but he was willing to conform to them, to seek common ground to reach out to them with the gospel. To change from what we grew up with is never easy, as the Apostle Paul could attest to. However, if we as Christians are to become all things to all men, that we might by all means save some, we should be willing to change for the sake of the gospel, whenever and wherever it's necessary. I'll give you some examples. I might think of some of the changes that took place in the past churches in our respective ethnic heritage for the sake of the gospel. For example, there was a time when the Norwegians and the German Lutheran churches changed the language that they used in their services. Instead of preaching in Norwegian or German or conducting the worship services in their ethnic language, they changed to English because they saw that there were more and more people who were speaking English than their native language. And so they didn't want their language to be a hindrance for people to hear the wonderful truths of the Savior. And they were willing to change. Now, I know that at the beginning, they would have a Norwegian service and they would have an English service. Same with the Germans. But then eventually it became all English because most everybody spoke English. So they sought a common ground of the same language so that their language didn't stand in the way of the gospel. In becoming all things to all men, Paul also writes in verse 22 of our text, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. In studying this verse, it would appear that Paul was talking about those people who were lacking in their knowledge of spiritual things, and they were weak in their faith. And so in this respect, Paul, when he encountered the weak, he was mindful of their weaknesses, and he was sensitive to it, and so he refrained from using his Christian liberty so as to gain those who were weak. and give them an opportunity to grow in their knowledge and faith in the Lord Jesus. And he patiently bore with them. He knew these people didn't always know everything that they needed to know, but he was patient with them and helped them grow. This is something we need to keep in mind and put into practice, such as when it comes to seeking to change congregational life. Now, I know for years that in our liturgy, we would use a liturgy that was more Elizabethan, and the scriptures were Elizabethan, but I think congregations thought, well, not everybody grew up with this. They're not familiar with this language. And so congregations changed in their liturgy and in their translation that they used in the services. They didn't want it, the language to stand in the way of the gospel. The law of Christian love would move us to be considerate and patient with one another in this regard. The Apostle Paul was, by the grace of God, truly a great missionary. The Lord richly blessed him, gathering many souls in the kingdom of God through him, establishing many congregations. The Lord enriched Paul's knowledge and his faith, and he had a strong mission zeal, fervent love for the precious souls Jesus died to save. And he had wonderful knowledge and good judgment, and he used it to reach out to others with the gospel. Most certainly, he has set a good example for us to follow in the important work of gaining souls. May the Lord richly bless our efforts in this important work and continue our bless our Christian fellowship for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.